WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good afternoon, Rutherford County. I want to let you know that the first part of the show is brought to you by Stan McNabb Automotive. And they provide quality vehicles from Chevrolet, Dodge, Jeep, Ford, and Cadillac to the Murfreesboro, McMinnville, and Shelbyville, Tennessee area. They have a large selection, ensures that they have a vehicle for everyone, no matter what it is you're looking for. And for a quality used car in Tullahoma, visit their dealership located at 2000 North Jackson Street. They have a large inventory of pre-owned cars, trucks, SUVs, and minivans to select from. At Stan McNabb Automotive, they pride themselves in the quality that they offer on all of their used cars, which makes them a major destination for used vehicles. And we're going to have King Arthur on today. And John Blankenship, of course, plays the role in the Cannon County Playhouse. It's going to be on tonight and tomorrow night. And you can get there at 6 o'clock and dine before you actually go in and enjoy the play. And it's going to be a wonderful experience. I had the pleasure of being there, Brian, and it was one of the most fun things that I've done in a long time. And John has run into a little bit of a problem right now.
Well, the king needs to call his court, I guess, doesn't he?
he needs to call somebody. Lancelot, I guess, maybe. Lancelot can bring his sword. He borrowed a truck to come over, and evidently there's something wrong with the tag. So guess what? There's a little blue light behind his truck over here at the radio station. I don't know what that signifies, but I've gone out and talked to him, and he didn't bring his sword with him.
He didn't?
He's not dressed in his normal outfit. So we're going to wait for him to get up here and join us in conversation, which John is one of the more interesting people I know of, being an attorney. But he also has a band, and they perform in a lot of communities and a lot in Rutherford County, and one of the best bands I've ever heard. But he's such a congenial fella, and it seems like the good people seem like they always have a little storm in their life from time to time.
Well, I was going to ask if he knew a good lawyer, so.
but you know, what is the old saying? A lawyer that represents himself has a fool for a lawyer or whatever. It's something like that. Yeah. I don't know exactly how that goes. But, you know, and sometimes a little rain must fall in people's lives. And I hear a little bell that signifies that somebody is.
Yeah,
I don't know what kind of mood John's going to be in when he gets up here.
Well, what do you think about the Cannon County Playhouse and everything?
Oh,
it's pretty
it.
Neat, isn't it?
You know, it's one of the highest rated places anywhere in the state. And you think about going into Cannon County, you don't think of those type of productions, but they're absolutely fabulous. And as John walks in, it's just been one of those days, hasn't it?
It has been one of those last several days.
But a lot of people don't realize it. Brian and I were talking about some of your dilemmas, but we haven't mentioned the fact that you had flu when I talked to your secretary Wednesday. But you look like you're bouncing back pretty well. Of course, you broke out a little sweat right now. I don't know why.
A little
but
sweat. Sweating bullets, as they call it.
As Guy Dodson used to always say, there's the caught and the uncaught.
Well, I thought it's ironic I get nailed right in front of Truman Jones's radio show locale.
And it wasn't even your fault.
And you know Truman heart. Well enough to know that he may have called in, you know.
You know, I was wondering.
Wait a minute, Brian.
I was wondering.
I'm not ready to lose a guest already.
And I tell you, I've lost count of how many violations I've got on that ticket there. I'm not even going to look until later. I don't want to get more depressed than I am now, Truman.
Do you know a good attorney?
Well, my wife's a pretty good one.
You know. I shouldn't be laughing about those.
You got to laugh.
Yeah.
You got to laugh.
Yeah. But
serves me right. Serves me right. Every time I try to get in too big a hurry, I do something silly like that.
Well, We all do. And I am not anybody that can complain about anybody else's driving. I don't know if you ever remember it, but there was a Walt Disney cartoon that was simply about a man who was one of the nicest people in the whole world. And then when he got behind the wheel of a car, he would become a maniac. And I said, they must have been following me. Not that I'm a nice guy anyway, but when I get behind the wheel of a car, I change completely.
It's the perfect perfect picture of that Robert Louis Stevenson story, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Right.
Perfect
Dr. Jekyll until you get behind the wheel, then you're Mr. Hyde.
People want to be in control of what they're doing, and when you're in a congested driving area, you're not in control because if you're in a hurry, you're behind somebody that's extremely slow. And if you just want to sit back and just enjoy your time, you've got somebody behind you that was just like you were, and you can't win. But I want you to know, and I've told you already, your production of Camelot was one of the best I've ever seen. You were absolutely fabulous. I was talking to Greg Tucker and a number of others after the play last weekend, and they were they couldn't say enough nice things of you and your cast. I mean, it was just absolutely just wonderful. And you guys, you're going to be on tonight.
Yeah, we got two
tomorrow
shows.
Night.
Our last two shows, tonight and tomorrow night. I really hate to see this show come to an end. And thank you so much for the kind remarks. Thank you for coming. Thank you for being there. It meant the world when I saw you after the show. But obviously, you may recall, we mentioned this show several weeks ago when we were on your program that was coming up in March. And I'd be remiss not to mention the folks who really have made it well, and that's primarily our director Cindy Verbeaten, who's directed this show and done a masterful job, and of course Daryl Deason, the producer, who's done the set and the costumes and so much, and then this cast. When you have Kat Taylor, Catherine Sandoval Taylor, and Kenzie Brewer, and David Cummings, and Phil Moat, and so many others, the cast we have, I just feel privileged to be among them, all of them. And to have this role, this is one of those dream roles. I mean, to play King Arthur, Lord of Mercy.
You're perfect.
I'll just say this, it's been a blessing. I've been the recipient of the blessings, and I hate to see it come to an end. It's been so much fun and so fulfilling. But we have put together a really, really good production, I think, that conveys the story, that conveys the and presents the music as it was to be presented, and we have a great small orchestra that presents the music and accompanies us, and it's just top-notch costumes that were loaned to us from the University of the South in Sewanee.
We were wondering about that,
and it's just been a wonderful experience, and I look forward to the shows tonight and tomorrow, but hate to see it come to an end. It's
what is Kat Taylor's background? I mean, such a beautiful voice and her presence on stage.
Well, I wish I had her resume, but I do know she is classically trained, has had a wonderful and very impressive music education and training. And obviously, she has more than just the training. She has the talent.
Oh, gosh, yes.
The innate, God-given talent. But of course, she's brought it to just a wonderful level with all of her work and training and practice over the years. And she's not just a beautiful vocalist. She's a wonderful actress, as you can tell.
Oh, you can't take your eyes off her
she's mesmerizing.
And, yeah.
I resent it personally.
No! You captured the scene, but there was another gentleman that plays two parts. He plays Merlin and the King. I can't remember what the King's last name is, but
David Cummings plays Merlin and one of the knights, Dinadan.
I thought he played also the crazy King.
King Pellinore.
Right.
Actually, that's the way it's interesting, Truman, because that's the way the show is usually done. It's usually a double cast between where the same actor plays Merlin and Pellinore. But in this particular case, David Cummings is playing Merlin and Dinadan, one of the knights, but a wonderful actor with a lot of professional credits from California and experience in movies and sitcoms, named Phil Moat, is playing Pellinore. And as you know, he just is. He comes close to, I think, stealing the show pretty close. He's a wonderful actor, and
there's no weaknesses in the show.
Well, it's really turned out to be very satisfying. I hope that some folks who haven't had the chance can find a way to come tonight and tomorrow night and see a wonderful production that, again, Cindy Verbaeten put together with a lot of help, of course, but she's been the lightning rod. When you have a show like this, it's the director's vision. Mm-hmm. And you've got to realize that it's the same script generally done by many different groups doing the same show, but there's many different ways to do it, and it's usually the director's vision that when a show is successful is going to come out and be exhibited, and that's happened here, and it's been her vision, and she's done a wonderful job. And
you would think that when they change scenes, there would be a pretty good lapse of time there. There's absolutely none, because as the lights go down, they already have it preset, and they can change from one venue to another. It just absolutely, and then you get caught up in that venue as soon as it comes there.
Well, and a lot of that goes back also to, I mentioned Daryl Deason, the producer, who had this set in mind from long before the show was cast or anything, and knowing the show is long, mm-hmm. It is a long show.
Hour and 45 minutes before the first intermission.
Knowing the show was long, I have to give him credit, and of course Cindy working with him, but give Daryl credit that he envisioned this way to make these scene changes, not flawlessly perhaps, but very efficiently and almost seamlessly. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that's the design. And of course there in Cannon County, you've got the Revolve, mm-hmm. the part of the stage that turns.
Right.
So you've got the outdoor set and the indoor set, and mm-hmm. just by turning the Revolve. But obviously a lot more goes into it. Now also, I have to mention Rachel Parker, our stage manager, mm-hmm. who's a wonderful actress in of herself, and I've worked with her in shows, but she's the stage manager behind the scenes who is making sure all those scene changes happen. There is a, mm-hmm. and she's got a whole cast of people back there that are never seen. They're in the black, and they don't get much credit, but they're working to make all those scene changes. Something that's probably would go unnoticed if I didn't mention it is that during many of the scenes, when the scene being played out is the interior of the castle. On the back side of that, of course, is the tree and the outside. Mm-hmm. And while that interior scene's being played out, there's actually people on ladders changing the foliage on the tree in the back. So when that scene turns again, we've changed seasons.
Constant motion.
A lot of little things going on that have made this show really special.
Well, it was special in a lot of ways for me. But one of the parts, I loved it when King Arthur and Guinevere were together and they were singing, and then Lancelot. But to me, the best part of the show, and I guess it depends on everybody's viewpoint, was your last scene. When King Arthur was reminiscing and talking about the way things were and how things are, and that you did a great job. You hit it, just nailed it right on.
Well, you're very kind. I hope I'm getting close. It's a wonderful role to have. It's been truly a blessing. There are some moments that character has. The one at the close of Act One, where he does the what I call the proposition speech.
Mm-hmm.
After the knighting of Lancelot,
and
Arthur has to make this decision. Once he realizes in his heart,
you're almost Citizen Kane right there.
You kind of,
yeah.
But he knows there's this thing going on between Guinevere and Lancelot at that point.
Yeah.
And he's at that pinnacle point, that crucial point, and he has to make a decision.
And he has love for both of them.
Yeah. So he makes that speech, and then of course at the very end, I think it's a very, very cool scene when they're about to go into battle, and although everything's been lost, his dream, the round table, but here comes this young boy who, mm-hmm. you know, has stowed away, is going to fight in the battle because he's heard the stories
mm-hmm.
of the round table.
Right.
And that gives Arthur that glimmer of hope, which leads to that closing scene you just mentioned, which makes it really special that it closes out with Arthur having his hope somewhat rekindled, that what he's dreamed is, you know, is going to be remembered and live on some way.
You know, it's kind of a break for you guys and for the audience after you have a long period before intermission, but it's really not too long because it was so enjoyable. But I wonder, do you kind of have a break there that maybe do you have to get rejuvenated again for your role? Because you have a long period that you have a lot of lines to remember. That has to be tough. I mean, it's not one of these things, unless you just have total recall, that you're going to be able to do without a lot of preparation.
Well, I definitely don't have total recall. And I have less recall as I get older. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
But you know, it's again, it's one of those things that if it's your passion, you know, I know if a guy's passion is golf, then he's going to be on the practice tees mm-hmm. and doing a lot of things besides just playing the rounds. Well, when this is your passion, you put a lot of effort into it, and folks don't realize that, you know, we've been rehearsing from, well, I guess they do, I don't mean to say it that way, but we've been rehearsing for months, you know, mm-hmm. several nights a week for weeks and months, you know, doing it over and over and over again. And so it, you know, it gets drilled in, and it really becomes more to me where at some point it gets past memorization till you just know it. You know, you're not recalling things from memory. You know it, kind of like you know your address.
Do you accept the character at that time when you're doing normal things when you're not on stage? Do you still feel like King Arthur?
Well, that's probably the...
I've heard of actors losing themselves in the roles before.
Well, yeah, I wish I was at that level and that caliber an actor, but that's probably been the biggest struggle. I know for me personally, finding the character, and I know if Cindy Verbeaten were here, she would tell you that is what she not only emphasizes more than anything else is character development. That's where her real talent as a director is. But we've had our battles because I'm not the most skilled actor in the world, and I can be hard-headed myself, but she has been the driving force between all the character development. And it took me a long time to get close to finding Arthur. I think it was probably dress rehearsal mm-hmm. when I first felt and probably showed some semblance of the character as he should be. And I probably had a lot of people nervous about my performance up until dress rehearsal. And hopefully I've you know, alleviated some of those fears by getting better and better. And I feel like I have, because you have to continue to work on the character. You know, the lines are the lines, but the character is the real essence of what makes the show work, and that's where my challenges are, and that's where I've tried to get there, and I think I've gotten pretty close. Not where I'd probably love to be in a perfect world, but pretty close, and I've gotten closer as the shows have developed.
You look pretty darn good to me.
Well, you're kind.
Now, when you're up there, of course, all the lighting is on you. But you have to be able to see some of the audience. Have you ever looked out there and seen somebody that maybe got your attention off? Because, you know, Greg and I, we wanted to sit up front with our wives to make sure that you were able to see us. Now, we weren't going to do anything to disrupt you, of course. But
are you sure about that, Truman?
Yeah. But if you see somebody out there that you're good friends with and you do things with, and sometimes you may want to pull a trick on one, or have you seen anybody in the audience like that? Because you have to stay completely focused on your role.
Yeah.
But I've seen your eyes as they would divert from one area to the other.
Well, that, you know, you asked some really good and really Truman profound questions about theater, especially in Cannon County. There's a couple of two or three things that come to mind in response to your question. One, of course, that's a thrust stage, meaning there's audiences on three sides mm-hmm. of you, and you have to play to all. But in this type of play, which is the typical play, and it's unlike some other shows I've done, the Smoke on the Mountain series, for mm-hmm. example, where that fourth wall, they call it, that wall that exists between the actors and the audience, in that Smoke on the Mountain series, that wall doesn't exist. The audience is actually the congregation of the church, and you mm-hmm. do interact with them. But in almost every other kind of show I've done, in most theatrical productions and plays, they're written where the audience is literally not there to the actors. Mm-hmm. It's that wall that we talk about, and you can look into the audience, but you really can't see the audience. And now that doesn't mean that I haven't, of course, recognized folks, and I've lost my focus at times and have seen people. Mm-hmm. But I really try to look and not ever look at a person, ever. I know it sounds kind of paradoxical, but you look at the audience, but you don't see them as people. You see that you give them your presentation, and you try to play to the places you need to play, but you can't see people there, because then your focus is gone. And I'm not as skillful as many other actors in that, but that's that wall that is supposed to exist. because you've got to be playing out a scene that's real, mm-hmm. not that an audience is watching, but that's actually happening and taking place. That's how real you want to make it. Mm-hmm. And it just so happens there's an audience that's overseeing it, you know. And I'm not very articulate in saying that as some other people, but
you actually reach out and catch the emotions of people, because I really felt a lot of pride for King Arthur, and then I felt sorry for King yeah. Arthur, because he was never able to reach the point where he wanted to be.
Yeah,
he was almost like a common man inside a king's wardrobe. He really was. With the crown on top of his head, he was admitting during the play that he was not a very bright person. He mm-hmm. didn't understand a lot of things. But he was so profound on all of the things that he believed and wanted to do. And he was a good man, caught up in trying to do the right thing. It was almost like I could almost put somebody who, like Benjamin Franklin, with that crown on, with some of the right. thoughts mm-hmm. that he had. But of course, Benjamin Franklin was not a common man. But still, King Arthur was really special, and you could feel that in your performance for him. I mean, it really was great.
That's gratifying, because that's something I hope is coming across. And that's true. I mean, you can recall his one of his speeches from the very early part of the show of how he became king mm-hmm. and never intended to be, never wanted
Didn't
to
want
be.
To be.
And had been ill at ease in his crown mm-hmm. until he met Guinevere. But he, I think, common man, but Arthur is a complex character, and it's just a wonderful story. It's tragic in so many ways, but it's so deep and profound. But here's Arthur really creating in his mind our civil justice system.
Right, he did.
That's the idea.
As an attorney, you yeah. could really appreciate that.
And yet, he doesn't consider himself deep or profound, yet he dreams up this system. He's convinced there's something better than swords and shields and spears to settle disputes. He's mm-hmm. convinced there's another way, a more civilized way, a better way. And of course, when that all comes crashing down, it's tragic. But yet, then there's that little glimmer of hope that the story gives us. So I'm very gratified to know that some of those attributes of Arthur are coming across, because I really love this role. I got to play this role about 10 years ago. This is likely the last time, so that's one reason I'm going to miss it
I
so much.
Not.
But it's my favorite role. And I can remember in 67, I think it was, when the movie Camelot came mm-hmm. out with Richard Harrison.
Right.
And Vanessa Redgrave as Guinevere and so forth, that I was kind of an oddball then. I was in high school, and all the girls in high school just fell in love with this movie. Mm-hmm. And all the guys kind of, you know, wrote it off because it was to one of those, what they call, use the expression, girly movies, perhaps. Mm-hmm. But I was in love with it from then, from day one, mm-hmm. that story. And this rendition of the story, of course, the Arthurian legend is literally centuries and centuries old, and there's all types of variations. But this play by Lerner and Lowe is based on the T.H. White novel, Once and Future King, that Arthurian legend or version. And I've always loved this version and the way it was presented in this by Lerner and Lowe, originally as a Broadway production, then followed as the movie, and of course it's had many revivals as a theatrical play and tours and so forth. I actually got to see Richard Harris do the show live in Nashville many
oh,
years
really?
ago.
Wow.
Years after the movie, when he was doing a tour of the show. And then, interestingly, years after that, I got to see Robert Goulet play King Arthur in another touring production. Of course, Robert Goulet was the original Lancelot
in
the original Broadway
Great
production.
Great voice.
And, but in his later years as an actor, he toured as King Arthur in mm-hmm. Camelot, which was an interesting irony, but also a real treat to see him. So I've seen this show many times in many places, professionally, community theater productions, amateur productions, and I've never lost one inkling of my love and appreciation for the story and the production. So I'm just blessed, and so blessed and tickled to death to have this chance. And thank you and all the people who've supported it. thank Daryl and Cindy and Kat and Kenzie and David and Phil and Rachel and everybody in the show. We got a wonderful supporting cast too. That's what's also forgotten. We have some of the most wonderful people I've ever met playing in our ensemble and our chorus and our supporting roles, and they've just been the most wonderful people to work with.
It's just been great. You keep watching, and you learn so many things that I didn't notice when I was younger, singing Camelot, and was the creation of the Round Table.
Yeah.
You know, I never thought about it, why they created the Round Table, until I saw the play. And there is no hierarchy on the Round Table. I mean,
no head at all.
I mean, and they're all equal, and they're there to keep things from happening, rather than creating. They're not going to go out and use their sword in war or things like that. They're there to prevent all of that, and it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, that lack of hierarchy is probably a good reminder lesson for our own Congress every now and then, perhaps.
You think that would work? You think, well, actually, it's round up there in the rotunda.
Yeah, I'll think about it.
But I presume there is a hierarchy. You have brought your, not your sword, but you brought your guitar with you today.
Well, I didn't know whether to bring it or not, but
I'm glad you did.
So I brought it. Didn't know what we'd kind of be doing. I was hoping we'd talk about Camelot primarily, because I really wanted to just be presumptuous as heck, you know me, and plug the show really hard again.
Now, are most of the cast members, are they from this area, or do they come in from other areas just to play here?
No, they're almost, I think, exclusively all from generally this area, either Cannon County, Woodbury, or Murfreesboro area. I know that, I'd be remiss not to mention one of the great actors in the show, Michael Adcock, who plays Mordred. Mm-hmm. I know you appreciated Mordred's performance.
Oh, yes.
Michael's performance as Mordred. He actually comes from Shelby.
Didn't like him at all. I was mad at him. I wanted to get up and hit him.
Well, our good friend Avent Lane, you know, uh-huh. who we both get to see and work with in different ways. He came to the show, and that was his compliment. I told Michael this later. I said, Michael, I got to tell you, a good friend of mine saw the show last night. I was telling him on a Saturday about a Friday show, I guess. And I said, and he said he just hated Mordred. He despised him.
Right.
And I said, that's just a wonderful job you did as that character. And he's a great actor.
I hope that wasn't in character for him.
No, he's a great actor. I've seen him play many roles, and he is just a fabulous character actor. But he may be, I don't know if he's our furthest and distance in terms of driving to all these rehearsals and all, but he lives in Shelbyville, and it was quite a task for him to make rehearsals and do as much. And he actually was in another production while our rehearsals were going on, so he really had to make extra efforts, as so many people did. So many people have pitched in and done so much, and I know I've missed saying some names. Forgive me, dear ones who I love and appreciate out there, if I have not mentioned all the names I should have. But it's, you know, one thing about theater, it is one of the most purest forms of collaboration. Mm-hmm. All the things that have to come together, all the different things that have to happen, all the different people that have to do those things to collaborate towards one single goal. And it's a great, great event in that sense alone.
It sure was. And we want to let you know that this portion of the show is brought to you by At Home Care, and that's Melissa Warren's business. And what they do is they come into your home and they take care of everything there for you, even run errands, make sure that you, once you have got to the point where you no longer can do those duties yourself and you may be a little bit stressed out of having to leave home, you don't have to do that anymore. 24/7 they're going to be there for you. And if that sounds good to you, give them a call at 713-4639. Or pull them up on the internet, www.athomecaretennessee.com. And if you'd like to go over to their place of business, it's at 237 Castlewood Drive, Suite H, and that's right behind the Kroger's on Memorial Boulevard.
HGTV, the leader in home design and know-how, has joined Shaw Floors, the leader in flooring and city tile and floor covering, the largest flooring retailer in our area, to bring you HGTV Home Flooring by Shaw Collection. Doug Young with City Tile.
Come to City Tile and see the new selections of the HGTV products exclusively at City Tile.
your HGTV Home Flooring by Shaw authorized retailer. Visit citytile.net. City Tile and Floor Covering.
Did you realize we have 10 items at the Maple Street Grill for lunch under $6.99? Hi, this is Mike from Maple Street Grill. Debbie and I wanted to invite you down to try some of the exciting new menu items. 10 items at the Maple Street Grill for lunch under $6.99. Maple Street Grill, 109 North Maple Street in the historic downtown Murfreesboro area.
This is Good Neighbor Events, brought to you by the Omni Hut Restaurant in Smyrna, AmeriCare Pest Control, and the Rutherford Home Show, Saturday mornings at 11:30 on WGNS.
Aloha, this is Omni Hut.
Visiting with Polly Walls at the Omni Hut Restaurant. What's on the menu?
Traditional luau dinners, steak, seafood, chicken, shrimp Panamanian, which is a large Gulf Coast wild-caught shrimp, Tahitian tidbits only at the Omni Hut, from a pork brisket with our teriyaki sauce that we do.
Rediscover the Omni Hut.
Come see us at 618 South Lowry Street, just inside Smyrna, near Nissan. Aloha!
From the WGNS Good Neighbor Events, we find that the Murfreesboro Rotary Club is having a four-way test speech contest. That's going to be 4:30 on Thursday afternoon, March 29th, at the Boys and Girls Club. Now, this is open to any high school student here in Rutherford County. Doesn't matter whether you go to public school, private school, or if you're homeschooled. It's free to enter, and your 4 to 6 minute talk is all about Rotary's four-way test. You do have to enter, though. There are cash prizes, plus you might win a $1,000 college scholarship. Once again, the Murfreesboro Rotary Club's four-way test speech contest is Thursday, March 29th at 4:30 in the afternoon at the Boys and Girls Club. Call the Boys and Girls Club and talk with Jenny Wright for more information. And on Saturday, March the 31st, from 8 in the morning until 11, it's an oil-based paint collection, and that'll be at 1140 Haley Road. Again, that's oil-based paint only, Saturday, March 31st from 8 to 11 at 1140 Haley Road. Also Saturday, March 31st, volunteers are needed to help clean the Stones River Battlefield. That date is also the Girl Scouts' 100th anniversary, and those are Good Neighbor Events.
Now more of The Truman Show with Truman Jones on WGNS AM and FM.
How much I miss y'all up? Welcome back with John Blankenship. Of course, you're hearing him already. I mean, kind of jumped the queue a little bit. You know how these actors are. They're always trying to
I'm
get
on
in
a
front
roll today.
Or the last one to leave when everybody's up there applauding.
I'm on a roll today.
You are on
get
a roll.
Get arrested in your parking lot, hold up the show, then jump the queue, trying to make up that lost time, I tell you.
But I'll guarantee you there's hundreds out there that have been in the same boat you have, been, including all of us up here. So it's part of life.
I think what saved me, I was honest with the officer when he said, so I'm driving this old pickup while we've got some of those car wars going on with kids and cars in the shop and so forth. And he said, can you tell me if this registration is valid? And I on his truck, and I said, officer, I have to be honest. I have no clue. I can't tell you. So I guess my honesty may have helped a little bit because I had no idea. Turns out tags were expired. Uh-oh. Registration expired. So it's I confess. I'm going to have to throw myself on the mercy of the court. On my court
you
day
don't
comes
want
up.
Justice. You want mercy.
Exactly. I've always wanted mercy. I've always wanted mercy, Truman.
You know, it's awful funny. I don't know why, but I turned on the TV before I left home to come in. And they had the movie on Anatomy of a Murder.
Oh, you Jimmy Stewart?
Jimmy Stewart.
Yes.
What a great movie.
Is that the one with Ben Gazzara?
Yes. And, he's the officer.
Jimmy Stewart and, what's
Lee Remick.
Lee Remick, yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That is a fabulous movie.
Oh, it is.
And who's the other, the old crusty old lady?
Oh.
Is his name McConnell?
Arthur McConnell or O'Connell?
O'Connell. O'Connell. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that is, yeah.
A great movie.
You and I've noticed this before, too. I mean, you and I love these same old movies.
Yeah.
We have to kind of run the same taste.
It's an age thing, isn't it?
Yeah, either that or we're both twisted. I don't know.
Now, had you rather do a play like you were doing? I know you're absolutely enjoying it, although I'm sure it's tiring. But you have a band, too, and you perform in a number of areas. Which one had you rather do? If you really had a great role like you have now with King Arthur, or play. Of course, you've got a great bunch of people to play with, Ken and Sarah and Billy.
Yeah.
And,
oh, wonderful.
And Avon.
Well, yeah, and we have fun all the time, and that's a real blessing, too, to play with those guys. Just doing music is just – but, you know, really, it's probably a pretty easy answer because you've seen that show. Mm-hmm. You've seen the times that I'm blessed to have that stage all to myself and have that spotlight all to myself and be right in it. It's kind of that's a rush that's really hard to beat. I mean, you know, doing a production like that with that kind of role. I mean, that's the top of the mountain. Now, that would be that'd be a great role, Atticus Finch in Kill a Mockingbird.
You think that would be possible? Because that's one of my favorite movies of all time. To have that transplanted over into Cannon County, because to me, you don't have you have very few scenes in that movie. They're either at the courthouse or at their little neighborhood where they live.
Well, they just recently did it there.
Interestingly
enough, David Cummins, who we've been mentioning, who is playing Merlin and the Knight Dinadin in the show, played Atticus Finch in the production there at Cannon County. Now, not long before that, the show was actually produced here at the Center for the Arts in Murfreesboro, and someone I'm certain you know, another local attorney, John Green, gave a magnificent performance as Atticus Finch in that. So, but that is one of those dream roles, too. That's one of those plum roles that I think any actor who gets a role like that would have to say, regardless of his other artistic pursuits, has to be the top of the mountain, the pinnacle of satisfaction to get that kind of that role.
Well,
they're rare.
When they bring in the shows here, the plays, do you guys, have to go in and show your talents, or are they already aware of you, and do they contact you as soon as they get the word that they're going to do that play?
Well, you know, I've auditioned for every show I've ever done, as I can recall, and including this one. And but some shows are hard to cast because of the, you know, what's being called for in the show. And certainly I know myself and other actors and musicians have been told that there's going to be auditions for a particular show and have been invited to audition because whoever, the director, whoever behind that show has, you know, knows you and you've worked with them before, know of you, and they think that you may be appropriate for the role. But all of our leads in this show still auditioned. I know all of them were aware of the show and had interest in it, but they all auditioned. And because, you know, here's what happens. I don't care how good you are. You may be the director's choice for this role ahead of time. They may be the one you've got in mind. But if somebody shows up at audition and just blows that role away and nails it, they are and should get the role. So that's I will stand corrected on one thing. I was precast one time as Will Rogers in Will Rogers Follies.
Great.
And the reason was I had to learn rope tricks. And it took me about a year, literally, to learn enough of rope, of spinning a rope and some basic rope.
Did you have
to
stand on top of the horse like Will Rogers?
No, thank God I didn't have to do that. Mm-hmm. But I actually had to work with a guy, a professional roper, who gave me rope lessons. So that one was the exception to the rule. But vast majority of roles, although there may be people in mind, there's invites, that there are always auditions and opportunities for people.
You know they miscast the movie about Will Rogers, don't you?
No.
You know who played Will Rogers in the movie?
No, I'm trying to think.
Will Rogers Jr.
Oh, yes.
Looked exactly like him. Sounded like him.
I recall that now.
You talk about something that's perfect. If you had the one row that you would like to do over all the others, if it ever comes available, whether it's here or Nashville or wherever, maybe in New York, what would you want to do? And I bet it would have to be something that's out of character for you, because that's what most people want to do. If you're a nice guy, you want to play a bad guy. It's just the way it is.
Actually, it's the role I'm doing right now.
Really? King Arthur.
Okay, this is it. This is my dream role of a lifetime. That's why I feel so blessed to do it. And I would love it if I could do it every night. It's just such a
rush. But then you would become kingly and regal. Because do you remember when Robert Blake played in Cold Blood?
Oh, yes.
And do you remember caused him all kinds of mental problems? He even had to go to a hospital for a while because of that. And, you know, to me, I don't think I could ever get so wrapped up in a role that I would become so out of character for myself.
I don't think I could ever become actually kingly either. I'm still too much the rough goober head, as most of my friends call me for that. Mm-hmm. But but as far as a role, this is I can't think of anything better than this, and just very thankful. Handed me something here, Truman.
Yes.
Caller wants a Marty Robbins song. I think it's my good friend Jim over at Digital Planet, looks like.
Mm-hmm. You sound more like Marty Robbins than Marty Robbins sounds like.
I wish.
And I have told you that when you're playing over at the Readable Mill. I mean, you have the best voice. And everybody I know comments about that.
Well, you know, we've talked about that before. I don't view myself as approaching Marty's skill level, because I've listened to him my whole life and I know all the things he could do. But I have tried to emulate him my whole life and have loved his music. You know, it's interesting. We're talking about old movies. I know you're a fan of Turner Classics like I am, but I had to watch a movie the other night for only one reason. It's a movie, The Hanging Tree, with Gary Cooper in the lead, only because Marty Robbins sings the title song.
Yes.
On that, and it was an Academy Award nominated song that year. It didn't win, but it was nominated, and they announced that when they were introducing the movie. So I enjoyed that. But if there's time, I'll try to do one for my good friend Jim. There's another good friend Jim out there, Jim Daniel. I bet you know.
Yes, know him well. I had lunch with him the other day.
Who is a good Marty Robbins fan? He always asks for this particular song, so maybe I can do this song. Hope I can get it out and kill
Jim
two
Daniels
birds with one
stone. Was a Marty Robbins fan.
Well, I knew he was when he asked for this particular song one time.
You know what his favorite song is, don't you, Jim Daniels?
He knows so many, it's going to be hard for me to guess.
Social Security.
There you go. You're bringing that cough back.
Yeah.
Well, Jim Daniels, one time I was playing, asked for this song. I knew he was a Marty Robbins fan then. So we'll kill two birds with one stone. We'll do it for our two Jims. Do a Marty Robbins song, and one that I know Jim Daniels always likes. See if I can get it out. The city streets are friendless and cold. I've walked them mile after mile. I'm a country boy, singing the blues, country style. Nobody stops to tell me hello, not even one friendly smile. I'm a country boy, alone with the blue country style. 100 tears make one city block, 2,000 tears make a mile. I'm a country boy, with miles of blues, the blue country style. Tonight in dreams, I'm going back home, and I'll be happy a while. But I know at dawn, I'll wake with the blue country style. I'm a country boy,
singing the blue country style.
Great job. Great job.
The blues country style, Marty Robinson.
You know, that one of our great songwriters wrote one of my favorite songs some time ago, and for some reason, it hasn't been published, but have you ever heard the name of the song, Six Gun Slim?
Six Gun Slim. Man, that sounds familiar.
One of my favorites. I love it. I don't know if you would know the words of that song or not.
Let me think. You know, I've probably got them written down here somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Actually, well, you wrote that song.
Yep.
And you have written a number of songs that I think are great. And of course, you sing a lot of them by request. And you, of course, you pick them out while you're at the Readable Mill every Saturday morning. But people don't realize what a great entertainer you are and your band. Oh, I mean, man, they're right at the top.
Well, you're kind, Drew, and I really appreciate you so much. You've been such a loyal fan and friend. We do have a lot of fun, and we do, you know, when I get a chance, I try to write some music, try to write some original stuff, because, you know, I think people appreciate hearing original music, it's, you know, you just don't want to continue to just cover all the time. You want to try to put out some original things, and by the way, you mentioned Greg Tucker, and as you know, his wife's involved with the Murfreesboro Symphony Orchestra,
uh-huh.
And our group, Johnny B and the Balladeers, are going to play the pre-show for the symphony on April 12th mm-hmm. at the United Methodist. I think we play around 6:30.
I think that's right.
And I wanted to mention that and thank Ben Tweet for that that opportunity. We're looking forward to that. But
I tell you what, it's a great setting. It's a beautiful place to go and a venue to sing in. A great sound there. But I'm glad you guys are going to be there, because I'm going to try to be there.
Well, it'll be my first. I haven't had a chance to
You'll
do
enjoy
it.
It.
I know Avent. I know Avent's done it before.
Oh, you're really going to enjoy it.
But I really appreciate being asked, and we're going to. And I look forward to staying for the concert, for the Symphony Orchestra's presentation that evening. I'm looking forward to hearing them.
Well, let's do a quick break and then let you know that this part of the show is brought to you by Golden Coin Connection, and that's at 2568 South Church Street, and they also have a new location at 5631 New Nashville Highway. And Pastor Larry Dunn of ERO Ministries and partners Chris Chico and Wayne Everly buy scrap gold, jewelry, platinum, coins, and silverware. And they have vintage sports collectibles and some great antiques. And if you want a fair and honest evaluation of your collectibles, take them by and see Pastor Larry Dunn and his partners at the Golden Coin Connection, 2568 South Church Street or 5631 New Nashville Highway, and give them a call, 890-2646.
Hi, I'm Dr. Britt Miaton, a cardiologist with St. Thomas Heart at Middle Tennessee Medical Center. Did you know that St. Thomas Heart is Middle Tennessee's number one rated heart program? At MTMC, we offer comprehensive services for the treatment and prevention of heart disease. From early diagnosis to minimally invasive surgical procedures, St. Thomas Heart at MTMC offers you heart care close to home. For information, visit heartasone.com or call 867-5028.
If you want to get some barbecue, I tell you how to do it. Head for the Slick Pig and you're into it. Just walk through the door at 1920 East Main and your nose will send a message right to your brain.
Now at Slick Pig Barbecue, try the Catfish Special. Wednesday night between 4 and 8 o'clock, $9.99 plus tax for all-you-can-eat catfish. The meal includes hush puppies, white beans, and homemade coleslaw at Slick Pig Barbecue.
You've known him for years. Now you can visit with him every day. It's The Truman Show, continuing right now on WGNS, AM and FM.
And welcome back with John Blankenship. So let's hear some music, John.
Well, I'll tell you what. I was, as you know, real life, I guess, is practicing law, and although the practice is...
Is that real life?
I hate to call it that. Lord, there's got to be a better one than that, don't you think, Drew? But
To be honest with you, I have known a lot of great attorneys and a lot of great people and some good friends, but I sure do love to tease them.
Well, of course, man. They're so teasable. Yes. They're so teasable. And I remember back years and years ago when I was still doing general practice, and which included some divorce work. I'll never forget a client coming in, and probably still to this day the most heartbroken person I've ever seen about the breakup of his marriage, and was totally lost, perplexed, could not understand it. And the way I write songs, it's ideas and titles that get in my brain, and then sometime later down the road a song will come from it. Mm-hmm. Six Gun Slim is that way. It's just I had that in my head, that one phrase and the concept. It took 2 or 3 years to actually get the song out, but I'll never forget this guy looking up to me and going and asking me this question. He said, "Where does the love go?" Mm-hmm. And of course, the songwriter part mm-hmm. of me, the artiste, weird side of my brain, locked that in right then. As I've heard so many other phrases, I wrote another song over a phrase, "You've still got a heart to break." That just kind of heard that said or was spoken in a conversation. That resonated with me, so I've got a song I've written called "You've Still Got a Heart to Break." But mm-hmm. so where does the love go? And this song seems to, it's one of those terribly sad songs, but it's unfortunately so true. I thought if we had a minute, I would try to do it, because it does unfortunately resonate with a lot of people, and it's sad that our marriages don't last and work always like they should, but it's a reality we have. Mm-hmm. And so if we got a second, I'll do it, if that's
fire
all right.
On.
It's a little slow, and I apologize.
Don't worry.
But again, that it just came from a from a real question, came a song. Where does the love go? Do you know? Where does it hide? Where has it flown? Is there a place true love goes? Where does a love go? Do you know? I can recall a blushing bride. I can remember all the love inside. But disappointments took their toll, and expectations left us cold. She was my woman and I her man. Couldn't tell where she stopped and I began. That's what makes it so hard to carry on. Living together, but all alone. So where does the love go? Do you know? Tell me, where does it hide? Where has it flown? Is there a place true love go? Where does a love go? Do you know? I never dreamed that we'd be here with a love so cold
there are no tears. Where there are things you just don't want to know. And it's just easier to let it go. But when I stop and look around, I see folks like us all over town. We're not unique, we're not alone. We're just the way it seems to go. So where does the love go? Do you know? Tell me, where does it hide? Where has it flown? Is there a place true love goes? Where does the love go? Do you know? Is there a place love abides? A place I can go and love I'll find. Is there a place true love goes? Where does the love go? Do you know? Where does the love go? Do you know?
Great job. Have you recorded that?
No, I hadn't recorded.
Why, goodness.
It's Avent Lane. He's my recording artist. Producer. He just won't do it. What am I going to do with him?
You know, that sounds like Avent, but you know, Avent was one of these people when we were on patrol together that really always wanted to be in radio. Did you know that?
No, but I can see it.
Do you remember when the CB radios first came out?
Oh, yeah, man.
I had to ride with him for 10 hours listening to Good Buddy stories all day long.
You didn't let him dominate that radio, surely, for all that, the whole shift.
I couldn't have it.
Oh, my dear.
One of us had to drive.
I'm amazed you survived, Freeman. I'm just amazed.
I'm amazed that I'm still here.
Well, you know what? I've been thinking about I like to have nicknames for all my friends. I've been trying to think of one for you, and I think I got one.
Uh-oh. I don't think we need to put that on
there. It's always just an adaptation. It's like my mother-in-law's name, Frances, and mm-hmm. So her name to me is Francisimo, mm-hmm. You know. And I think Trumanation.
Trumanation.
Kind of like domination.
Trumanation. Don't mm-hmm. you think that sings and works?
I like it.
Trumanation. What's the explanation?
Well, it's not only a nickname, it's kind of a declaration. I think it's cool. So don't get upset if I say, hey, Trumanation, what's up, man?
Hey, I've been called a whole lot worse than that, believe me. John, I know that you're ready to go. You're ready to get back to Woodbury and get started on your play. And
I've got to go get my beard dyed.
Oh my!
I'm having to youthen myself for this role.
So you're gonna have to dye it gray. Is that what you're gonna have to
do? Right, the reverse. I've got to cover some of this gray and look a little younger than my actual age out there. Hopefully,
now
makeup and dye. You know, maybe I'll make it.
People that are thinking about going tonight, and they should be tonight and tomorrow night, are going to be your last chance to see Camelot. And people, you can actually get there about, when does the restaurant start serving? Around 6 o'clock or something?
Yeah, I think, at latest, probably even before 6, they're open. Well, I'm sure they're open before 6, restaurant.
And that's in the theater itself.
Yeah, in the theater. The Blue Porch Cafe, a great mm-hmm. cafeteria-style home cooking.
We ate there, and it was delicious.
So you can dine and then go to the show and just have one of those cultural experiences. What are you talking about?
But and I think
show's at 7:30,
and mm-hmm. I think the line starts about 6:30, where you can actually purchase your tickets I think you can call ahead of time.
You can.
And they have reservations there.
And I think they actually open the doors for seating at 7. Uh-huh. So the earlier the better, I think the better chance you have of having the better seat. And so, but thanks so much again, Truman. Really appreciate always coming on your show, especially all the kind things you've said about our production of Camelot.
Believe me,
really appreciate
it is worth it. And it's worth the long trip to Cannon County. It's, what, about a 20-minute drive at the most down John Bragg Highway. And it's actually on your left on John Bragg Highway. Before you get into downtown Woodbury, you'll see it on your left. It's very prominent. And everything is so comfortable there, you'll just absolutely enjoy it. So make sure that if you can't go tonight, go to tomorrow night, because we want to make sure that it's well represented.
Thanks.
See you Monday.